The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Roman numeral 16 at the bottom of it here, and we're looking at Proverbs 24. So turn there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So rebound clears the decks, puts you in fellowship so you can concentrate on the spiritual information presented to you. Otherwise, you fail to worship God in spirit and in truth because you are not in fellowship for whatever reasons. And you may at the time think it's a good reason to be out of fellowship. But there is no good reason to be out of fellowship if you think about it and think it through. You can be in fellowship under all kinds of circumstances, glorify God under a variety of situations. So this is your opportunity to get yourself where you need to be, keep yourself where you need to be, and put your mind on the information in front of us. The Word of God helps to calm us down and orient us to the plan that we are privileged to be a part of. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we have assembled ourselves together as one body in Christ to continue to move forward in the things that matter, the things that are eternal, the principles laid down in your word by which you will judge all flesh. Thank you for this opportunity. Be with us in our study and fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Bible doctrine is the source of physical and spiritual blessings. We noted Proverbs chapter 3. There's a bunch of things. The theme of the book is wisdom, probably, or it's a predominant factor because it is designed to inculcate wisdom with regard to all aspects of human existence and life on this earth. So, Proverbs chapter 24, 3 and 4, these little segments through Proverbs are designed to orient you to God and how you should regard your life on this earth with regard to the external things that are out there. I will read the first verse because it is important. Do not be envious of evil men. Now, evil men is not refined or confined, rather, to people that are obviously involved in criminal activity or immoral activity of that nature. But obviously it does include these people because there are many people on this earth that are evil and they are prospering at a great level. And sometimes that trips believers up. Why do the wicked prosper? Is a subject that is in one of the Psalms. And in one of the Psalms, the believer in view allowed it to trip him up and give him a bad attitude. But getting back in under face-to-face teaching in the house of God and hearing spiritual information, he learned the fate of the wicked. And it's not a good one. It's the worst of the worst. They are operating on slippery ground, to use the analogy, and apt to fall at any minute and to be under eternal judgment. So we are told not to be envious of these types. Ask yourself the question, are you envious of people of means and prosperity? Do you envy where they live, what they have, and all associated with them? If you do, you're way out of line. Do not envy these people. They are not worth it. Nor desire to be with them. That's another bad news deal. Associating with them. Again, evil men does include some of the worst of the worst. It includes really anybody who is pursuing this life and the things in it at the expense of the spiritual life. You should not desire to be around these people in a social context. You may have to run across paths with them. You may have to deal with them in business and other things, but do not desire to be with these people. For their minds devise violence. Now we'll go to that category, a theme in the book of Proverbs of the violent type, who advance their own cause by violence. Now that's not just your local criminal. That's not even just the mafia. It includes that. Organized crime. It includes people at all walks who are devising violence, illegitimate attacks upon others for gain. This can be involved in nations involved in illegitimate military enterprises, of which this country is up to its ears. We have no business doing this. Support our troops? What do you want me to do? Thank you for going over there and being involved in this. Now, if you're caught up in it, you're caught up in it. You got drafted. Well, that's not happening today. But you volunteered or whatever, and you're out there, then you serve your deal, and you should question, though they ask you not to, you should question, why are we doing this? What's the basis for this? What's the basis for undeclared warfare? You know it's undeclared. They didn't get up and make a big vote, you know, and try to, you know, give some credence to the Constitution. The wars are supposed to be declared. And when was the last one we declared? Whether it was right or wrong, when was the last one we actually declared a war? These military exercises and things, and of course they promote it all over TV, ball games and everything. Now, this is real noble. And we're killing people in foreign lands. They didn't do anything to us. Anybody with half a brain knows that. All the rationale, well, if we don't, they'll send terrorists our way. It's crazy. We'll get into the particulars, I'm not going to, but all these recent enterprises, we could go back to Vietnam. We could go back to it, for starters. We'll go back further, but we'll go back to Vietnam. The Gulf of Tonkin incident was contrived under the Johnson administration. It's all well known. This is treason. You don't ask people to go out and put their lives on the line if it's been manipulated from behind the scenes. So this is another type of violence. If you've been with me in our studies of the prophecy of the United States, you know that we're guilty of massive bloodshed on this earth. That's one of the indictments. Read Revelation 18. Read the verses. Let them settle into your thinking. So you, if you're caught up in this, you can break this spell and you can see this. There are those who do, even outside doctrine, but it's the war party. It's always the war party. They want war. And I've seen in this country, both sides of the political aisle, which there's not much difference between them when you get down to it, they both are promoting it. Nobody is truly, any group of them, saying, you know, we need to pull out of these places. But see, it's big money. It's big money for the arms industry, for Boeing, and for places like that. It's big money. They need this. So we're caught in it. For their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. All right, verse 3. By wisdom, a house is built. You don't just throw up something. If it's good architecture, good execution of the builder, and so forth, it takes expertise to build a house, a reliable dwelling place for people. And some houses, as you know, have not been built well and are constantly problematic. Because at the very beginning, they weren't built right. But a house that's built right serves it. So by wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. Now, this is an analogy to the soul, your soul. And that house that with its parts, rooms, etc., is what he's dealing with here. And by wisdom, it is established. Understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled. What's a house with all a bunch of empty rooms? It's not much of a place. Its rooms are well appointed by someone who has the ability to decorate and to purchase the right items, so it isn't just a clutter of stuff. It's well thought out by those who know how to do it. So what the rooms are filled with doctrine. So your soul is like these rooms that once the house is built, you're basically a believer. You've got your soul is saved. You're established in God's plan. And then you begin to develop within that, the rooms are filled. And then, and unless people are really rich and can just go out and buy everything all at once, it's usually a process over time where people get this and this and add to and make the room what it needs to be for what it's for, whether it's a living room, a bedroom, whatever. The rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, we'll deal with a house here that's more on the category of a mansion. An elaborate mansion built by someone who has lots of money and a lot of understanding and talent with regard to what needs to be done. And so that's your soul. And as you learn these things and embrace these things, it's like inside you have this truth whereby you are before God a person that He can bless, that He is for, and get all the trash out. Get that out. Well, you wouldn't put it in there to begin with, but let's just say you have these rooms and you have this truth in you. So you can enjoy it. Not just, well, you can actually enjoy it. You can sit around and talk about topics. Talk about doctrines. Openly and easily. Fluidly. Because you've learned these things. That's the riches that are precious and pleasant. They're enjoyable. That's the truth in the inner man, as we would say in other places. All right, now, those who reject doctrine, those who walk away from it, and there's various versions of that, people who are not interested in the first place, people who have doctrine and who have abandoned it, which we have around here, they're on off on their own, doing their own thing. This is not appropriate. Because of all the doctrine you have that says this is what you need to be doing. You need to be under your right pastor in your local church, under face-to-face teaching, and not hiding out somewhere or running off in some other venue. That's not God's will for your life. That's just straightforward and up front. Don't go there. Stay away from that. And encourage others to do likewise. Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom, I've given this one before, so it's a repeat. I like it so well because it's back in Old Testament times where the prophet went into the street with the information. And we don't do that. I'm not saying, people evangelize in different parts of the world. They do village ministries. They go into villages in certain countries and evangelize. I'm not bad-mouthing that. But there's a lot of this stuff we see out here is ridiculous. But this is the prophet communicating to the populace in a given area in Israel. That's the background. And it's a communicator, and he is put in the background. The content is what's out front. Wisdom shouts in the street. In other words, he raises his voice, kind of like I do here. So we have projection, and you can hear. So I'm not talking real low, and you can't understand me. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square, city square. That's where a lot of people are. People need to hear it. Again, background, Israel, the people, the population, the citizens in given locales, in need of information because they're off track with God's plan. So he sends prophets. Prophets were sent generally because the people were out of line. Not always, but they were out of line and they needed to be called back. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. Here's this guy crying out, speaking in the name of Yahweh to these people that came there for business or whatever they came there for. And suddenly here is this person shouting divine viewpoint, wisdom, giving these people wisdom so they can get back on track and get under the blessings that God intended for Israel under the covenant. Because they're off base. In some cases, it was very extreme that they were off base. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. Strategic location of the prophet. He's not out in the nowhere. He's even John the Baptist. He came to the crossing place of the Jordan. This is where all the people traveled, came down. It was a natural ford on the river. And so here he pops up. One day. Because Israel was in unbeliever reversionism. They were really out of it. They had all the overt trappings, but they didn't have the reality on the inside. They didn't have the gospel right. So he was calling people to the Lord. Now, he's not here to flatter anybody. You need to be told, as a believer, where you're at any given time, so you can make adjustments, if necessary. That's what you need to hear. You need a pastor teacher who has the information, who can tell you even things that may hit you in an unpleasant way. Who likes to be told they're out of line? I don't see anybody raising their hands. Who likes to be told they're out of line? But we have to be. We all get out of line. We have to have that information. We need encouragement. We need those things. But we also need to be told where we're stepping out of line and not presume that you're above it because you're a nice person. I'm sure you are a nice person. Maybe not. But you consider yourself a nice person. Others consider you a nice person. And you may be a very nice person. There's no question about it. You're kind to people. You do this and that, and that's good. But you do get out of line. And you're thinking. And you need the corrective. The Word of God is a critic. It's a critic. Critics, good critics, they're not a bad thing. They're pointing out stuff. We're all tainted with sin and all human viewpoint and all this kind of stuff and our background, our upbringing, our predilections, everything that work against us. And of course, I include myself in that. I always have. Not above this. Sometimes it's painful when I teach a certain thing because it nails me. But who else is going to do it? I got to do it. If I don't want any pain, then I need to line up in that area. That's that simple. So it always encourages me, Jack, that you're not perfect. Thanks. It's a weird kind of encouragement, I guess. But some of you need correction, and you will need correction, and you're not above it. Here, though, it is probably the extreme of out-and-out reversionism. So we're not complimenting people. How long? Oh, see, naive. I've told you the New American Standard, and I've looked at the other translations. Overall, it is heads and shoulders above others. But it isn't perfect. And there's words that aren't right that could be better chosen or outright wrong. But all said and done, it's the version we use. Because I have to do less doctoring of it. It would drive me nuts if I had to correct the translation of the King James every day. I would. No, thank you. I had a pastor who did that, and I thought, and yet talk about how good the New American Standard was. So when I first got here, I just said, this is the version we're using. And there's a couple editions of it. the most recent one, got rid of the thous and the thous and those kind of that, you know, high English holy language, and got down to earth and just said you. So that was an improvement. But some people like that, but they're out to lunch. How long, O naive, is, I mean, it's to be naive, that may be one thing, but stupid hits it better. Because these people are acting stupid. Who wants to be called stupid? Well, if you're stupid, you're stupid. If you're stupid about this, then you're wrong about this. You need to be called on it. And the beautiful thing about face-to-face teaching is I don't try to single out any one person. I deal with general problems and issues, so I generally put it out. Now, you can sit out there and say, yeah, well, that really applies to that person. It may. But what about you? I remember the day when they had their act together. You could find yourself in their same place. Series of events. So you have to make up your mind every day, I'm not going to go down that path. Help me not to go down that path. I am my own worst enemy. It isn't the devil, it's me. I mean, he's an enemy, and he's active through his agents. Oh, stupid ones, how long will you love being simple-minded? How long will you be stumbling around in all this human viewpoint and attitudes that are not worthy of the law of God? And then there's other people out there. They're even worse. And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, bad-mouthing stuff. You know what a scoffer is. The Bible does not like scoffers. Those are those that put down certain things, truths, badmouth it, ridicule it. That's scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. See, this is an appeal. Turn to my reproof. Do it or don't. Volition. Turn to my wisdom's reproach. Wisdom is reproaching you. You do not want to stay in that situation. Behold, and here's what will happen if you do. It's that simple. You get your act together. You break away from this. Because I have believers that are headed down the wrong path. Clearly down the wrong path. They're acting foolish. They should know better. But they're putting this and that above what they need to. And they're violating certain scriptures to get where they want to get. So you have a challenge every day of your life. Who are you going to listen to? Your pastor? Good believers around you that are positive? Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to let influence you? Some peers in your workplace, your school place? Who are you going to let influence you? People are suddenly making noises that are in the assembly that aren't correct. You can listen to them. So if you are with it, turn to my reproof. In other words, take your lumps. Take them. Take them like a man. Take them straight up. Let them hit you. Let them hit you hard. That's the beauty of God's plan. You're way out of line. This is illustrated in the opening verses. You people are way out of line. You're not following your mandate, which is the law of Moses. You're caught up in all these things, including idolatry and all the other things the Jews fell prey to. If you will turn to my reproof, I have a future for you. You're not cut off unless you keep yourself there. Turn to my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. You will have the full blessings of God the Holy Spirit, and things will start making sense. Now, because I called and you refused, maybe the prophet went back more than once. You aren't listening. This is the road you're headed down. I stretch out my hand and no one paid attention. What a thankless job a prophet had sometimes. Can you imagine? No takers. Nobody. Just making fun of him, blowing him off, going about their life and you rejected all my counsel. They did not want my reproof. See, every time you have the word my in here, it's wisdom personified. I also laugh at your calamity. There's going to be a payday for you, and it's not a good one. And wisdom will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. Genius. So this is sanctified mocking. You will be mocked for your stubborn resistance to the truth. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, like a big weather event, okay? A deadly one. That's what's going to come to you. And for the Jews in the age of Israel, it would include everything up to the fifth cycle of discipline. Right down to personal calamities and judgments. Invasions of nations. Disease. A host of different things God said He would throw at Israel under the cycles of discipline if they would not line up with the truth. The blessings and the cursing side of the covenant. Anybody can read it. You do right, this is the blessings you can garner. Do wrong, this is what you'll reap. And did Israel ever reap? It's incredible. What they went down. You read the Bible, you think, oh my, it was so bad. But they got so bad. And they kept rejecting up one wave after wave after prophet that God graciously sent to them to call them back and out of their ways. So, when distress and anguish come upon you. See, that's the hard side of it for negative volition and for people hostile to the truth. Then they will call on me. In absolute desperation, they'll scream out to God, but their hearts aren't in it. I've always said it's never too late to turn it around for you as a believer. It's never too late. Pretty much. There's one thing I would advise that you never do. Hear a true doctrine and call it false. Or take a true doctrine you once embraced and call it darkness. Wrong. Oh, you can be in violation of doctrine. Way big violation of doctrine. That's called sinning. But you understood that as a sin. You stepped into it. Hopefully you're not that dumb and that resistant to not know that's a sin. I mean, how bad's that one? You won't acknowledge that as a sin? You know it's a sin. But I'm talking about people who have had the truth, taken it in, and then thrown it to the dirt. There's a pretty good chance those people do not come around. I'm not talking about people that kind of get caught up with other people because they can't think for themselves, they won't think for themselves, and they want to please others. They want to please family. I'm going to go with family. Family all goes, I'm going to follow him. Where'd that ever come into the Word of God? Wisdom doesn't teach that. You're not even expected to follow your spouse if the person goes into reversionism. You got to stay married. You got to hang in there. You got to deal with it. And it's a big stress and everything. But you do not follow people. You're not here because... Are you here only because your family's here? Of course not. A lot of you aren't. Your family's not here. They don't understand this. Or they left. Or whatever they did. Okay. We're not here to follow family. You didn't come in here following family, did you? Well, maybe you did. That's where you really make big time. And it is important for you because you will be under attack. They're going to be on your case. Now, more than ever in Maranatha Church, they're going to be on your case if you're here. Now, some of you don't have that problem. Maybe it is with some friend that was close to you. And there was a split there because they went a different way. You're not here to follow family. You're here to follow the truth. Family will take care of itself. Jeremiah had his entire family down on his case when he was called to be a prophet. And the woman, and he was going to get married. But she was negative. This is before they got married. But they never did get married. Because God told her, your niche is, you're not taking a wife. Not in this day and time, and there isn't anybody out there. So you're just a lone prophet. His whole family turned against him. All of his relatives, all these people. So see, we're back to, you want the crown? No, if you don't, okay. But if you're serious about it, you got to count the cost every day. And you got to take up your cross every day. And some days it's not a big deal. Everything's fine. And then other days it's a different story. Cross indicates humiliation and shame. Not because you're doing something wrong, but because you're hanging in there with in a difficult set of circumstances. Some of you have been saved by your family. I don't mean that. I mean, they exhorted you. They prayed for you. They were there for you when you were going through a situation where you could have went off in another direction. You ought to thank them for that. They did good by you. It was a crisis in the family, and you were about to collapse spiritually. It's okay. I say it's okay. It's okay in the sense that you, when push came to shove, you did the right thing. You did. And you need to be encouraged in that. And get your eyes off of things and recognize what you need to do. This is what makes you a great believer. Not folding and giving in to people. I'm not suggesting you be rude to them, but I am suggesting that you are very firm with them. That they're in no unmistakable terms. They know where you stand. And you're not going down that path. And if that kills our social life, it kills our social life. I'll find new social life. I've had a lot of people I've had social with, and they went south. I didn't like it that they did, but that's what they did. It's over. Unless they turn around. If they turn around, I won't even say a word. I won't even say I told you so. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Imagine being in that situation. They will seek me diligently. They'll not find me. God withdraws himself from them and gives them over to this because they cross a line. God even tried and went an extra mile with that nitwit Cain and told him to get the right sacrifice, do the right thing. But he wouldn't do it. It's just people are like that. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the stupid will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Indifference. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. All right. Excuse me. I'm in Proverbs 1. But deliverance for those who embrace her. Again, 133. We just gave that. I just read that one. 324. I might have read that too. Yeah, I read that one, but I guess I repeated it, so why not? A couple of verses here. The man who finds divine viewpoint. Now, it's not finding divine viewpoint. Finding wisdom is because God knows your heart and puts you where you find the truth. And all you're bouncing around, the man who finds wisdom. And then we dealt with that it's better than the possession of silver and gold. That's just shiny stuff that's money and worth something, but it can't deliver you and it cannot put you where you need to be. The accumulation of materialistic things in the category of silver and gold and jewels, they bring a profit, but none of these things. And anything you desire, what do you desire in life? Let's just say someone asks you, you write up on the whole thing in school, what do you want to do in the future? Tell them you want to go to maturity and get the crown. Tell them that. That's your MPR. Whatever other things God gives me and I enjoy in this life, that's fine too. But they cannot come at the expense of these things. So if I have to take the low road to get to the high place, I'll take the low road. If I have to take a lesser job and a lesser deal, and you got all this talent, and oh, you could do all this, blah, 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 cosmos bombards you with all this, young people I'm talking to in particular. No, you don't go there. You don't go there. And they don't have any understanding of this. They have no capacity to understand that. Zero. They have never sat under sound teaching. They have not even been introduced to SG3, eternal rewards, and the crown. They don't even know. They're clueless. Okay, some fundies quote this and say the crown and all this business, but they don't know what's involved. It's not just, we'll hand it out to everybody. It wouldn't mean very much, would it? I mean, it'd be nice, but it ain't going to mean much. And it discriminates against those who put up with all this stuff and endured spiritually and made the necessary sacrifices to stay where they need to be. And that's what we're having to do today. And I'm a voice. I'm just like that prophet that stands out there. You came here of your own volition, of course, because hopefully at some level you realize this is where I need to be. And you got up and trudged through the rain and you got here. See? You didn't say, oh, it's so rainy today. I just think I'll sleep in. I know it's a temptation, but you didn't do it. You came. You came to Bible class. You didn't let these things get in the way. This is the thing I've harped on all through my ministry. You need to be here. The great believers that you study in the Bible that found approval, Hebrews 11, they weren't fly-by-nights. You don't have to do anything special to make any big spiritual contribution. It'll come to you. It's already come to some of you. Right now. You get to stand up against a whole host of things. And I notice it. I hope you don't fold. I hope you do not let people dictate your spiritual future. Only the Word of God and what you're hearing from me. Take your best day when you're here and all your friends and everybody was here and all blah, 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 blah. It was the same doctrine as here. Same information. You just have to soldier on through it. God will provide you with comfort from others and circumstances. And you can be an encouragement to others that may be weak and shaky. And encourage them to do the right thing. You don't have to do it in a loud voice. You don't have to yell at them. You just have to be firm and direct. And they have to know that you love them in Christ. And that you're operating under the law of love, not under any other situation. So, I'll read those. Well, those verses just... These verses, teaching a son, I'll read verse 21. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. You got to keep this out in front of you. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So there'll be life to your soul, an adornment to your neck. See, the neck is related to volition. That's why the neck. So a necklace around the neck adorns the neck. We see a beautiful necklace on someone, it adorns the neck. It draws our attention to the neck because that's where that piece of jewelry goes. And that's why he uses this language, an adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your ways securely. You'll be secure in everything. You're where God wants you to be. You got security, the right kind of security, internal, knowing God is with you wherever you are and what you're going through. And your foot will not stumble. So walking and locomotion, you're not going to stumble into the wrong things. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Weather says there could be tornadoes tonight. Okay. Well, where's my hole in the ground? You know, like the guy in the news that, you know, he was running out to his storm cellar, slipped, fell, broke his neck. You're secure. God has delivered a lot of us in phenomenal ways. So you have that security. You're not worried about things. It's in God's hands. Even the violent storm that's coming through town, it's in God's hands. You're one person, right? And everybody out there, remember the last, some of them we had, where people are out on the interstate running every which way? Cars were going the wrong way on the wrong lanes, and people were going nuts and all the rest of it, and the newsman had them all worked up, and some of them got killed. They should have stayed home. But they didn't have any of that kind of security. Some of us even ran around town. And we were a little embarrassed later. But we ran around, boards flying through the air. Didn't even have a nick. Nothing hit them. They could have stayed home. Their home was completely, perfectly good place to sit. So, and there's all these things they're trying to scare us with today. They're trying to scare the human race. Well, scary times are coming to the humanity. That's for sure. But we can live securely. Get up. Go about your business. God's in control over your life. If you've got a worry grid, you got a worry grid. I understand that. Believers do have a worry grid. I don't like worrying, do you? It's not any fun. It's not an enjoyable sin. It makes you miserable. You'll live securely. And your foot will not stumble. When Brenda and I went through the test up in Seattle, there was no panicking. There was no falling apart on her part at all. I was a wreck. No, I wasn't. There was a couple moments I had difficulty, but no. It was either she didn't care or she's really faith resting stuff. I presume it's the latter. The stability. You know, and people around you see that. Because you saw other people in the hospital and they were beside themselves because of a loved one's situation. They didn't have any doctrine. It's sad, but that's where they put themselves. We knew God was in control. And it was going to work this out. And he did. So it was a good opportunity. Even in a situation like that, you can have security. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You say, I'd never have sweet sleep. Well, that's something you can pray about. Do not be afraid of sudden fear. Oh, that's an easy one to live with. Sudden fear. Something that pops up in front of you that you never even anticipated. It was so quick, it hit so fast. But see, that's for the believer who prays and says, if you put me in a situation where there is sudden threat against my life and whatever, help me to not be afraid. It's okay to be afraid about some things. That's a human viewpoint statement people make. So it was okay for Jesus to be afraid about some things but not others? No, he would have sinned. So, yes, we're going to sin. We're going to fail in this area. We're going to commit the sin of fear. It's reboundable, of course. But the deal is, what about when you don't get frightened? You don't get upset because it's going this way. You could suddenly be without a job, or you could suddenly have some diagnosis, or be in a dicey situation on a highway, or in a environment where there's violence and people rising up. You don't have to be afraid. Nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. This is a direct frontal attack. When negative volition is on your case, it's the onslaught of the wicked. And notice all the believers in history who've been persecuted, imprisoned, tortured. That's the onslaught of the wicked. It may be just verbal. Just verbal. They are going to throw a verbal barrage at you of slander and attack. Job says, he said, in those days, they're going to laugh at it. It's just a bunch of words that people posted online or they're running around doing, which I don't look at any of that stuff. If they want to do that, let them hang themselves. I'm just going to get SG3. When they say all manner of evil against you and run you down and put all this stuff out there. They can't damage you in reality. The average person out here, if enough slander, whether it's true or not, thrown against them, it can ruin them. You can't ruin an adjusted believer. with the scourge of the tongue, as it's called in Job. In these days, you are not afraid of these things. The scourge of the tongue. Violence. We live in a world of violence, in a world where people are just crazy at the highest levels and are just asking for it. They're playing around with nuclear weapons and talking about stuff like it was nothing. Well, what gives me peace? Christ controls history. Not these people in the UN, not these people in Washington or Moscow or any other place, with all their massive weapons of mass destruction where they can destroy whole cities instantly. I don't worry about any of that stuff. Christ is moving history along, and we'll be out of here and not have to deal with this. So doctrine is a source of deliverance. Do you have your own personal story to tell about how God has delivered you? Again, also Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. Hear, O sons. Now he has plural. Apparently Solomon had more than one. And these were lessons that he had taught one son or a group of sons, apparently. The instruction of a father. This is an appeal. I want you to listen to your father. A man of stature, Solomon. Oh yeah, he had his problems in his life. But he's also a man who has gone through things and has some very good wisdom. And he says, and give attention that you may gain understanding, so you can have insight into this and why it works this way best. For I will give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. So those are the exhortations. When I was a son to my father, I wonder who that was, David. Tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba. That's right. Then he taught me and he said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. That's the next step beyond knowing info. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. She'll be your guard. It's really God being your guard, but wisdom is personified here. God and wisdom are so connected that the terms are interchangeable. Love her. I love the truth. That's what you're supposed to be. I love the truth. And she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom, the first principle of wisdom, of all the wisdom you can get, of all the divine viewpoint you can get, is acquire it. Like you'd go out and acquire something for a collection. Acquire wisdom. And with all you're acquiring, get understanding. You'll see this theme coming up. It's not enough just to know facts and data about the Bible. It's how you apply it, which people out here have forgotten. You have to apply these principles to keep you out of trouble and going down the wrong path. Prize her, and she will exalt you. In your niche, in your circumstances as it is today, she will honor you if you embrace her. Not some half-hearted, kind of like doctrine, kind of like going to church. Something you embrace, you like. If you embrace a woman, obviously it's supposed to be because you love her and care about her. Embrace a friend. Embrace. That indicates bring close to you. Embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. Favor, grace, the Hebrew word, king. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Now they wore crowns and wreaths in antiquity. That's what the background of the Bible is, whether it's the New or Old Testaments, as a sign of honor. We don't do that. We usually put a medal around a neck or something like that, a ring, but whatever. She will present you with a crown of beauty. All right, let's take our break.